Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffan.net.
Stu, I'm just not sure this is a good idea.
Richard Herring, look, he's controller of Radio 1. You know, what can he do? It's our only option.
Hi, Mr. Bannister. It's us, Richard Herring and Stuart Lee,
That's
you know,
me.
From Lee and Herring.
Yeah.
We see in the Radio Times that you're expecting us to do another radio series
right.
for you right
yeah,
now. But we don't want to, because frankly, we only ever started on the radio because we thought it might get us on the telly.
That's right, and we're a bit worried, you know, because we've spent 5 years floundering around in radio comedy, and in that time, our contemporaries like Shane Ritchie and Mark Lamar, well, they've already blazed a trail into hosting their own children's television programmes.
Yeah, and also the bloke from Bizarre in The Sun says Radio 1's rubbish now. Anyway, the thing is, we want out.
What'd you say to that, eh, Matthew Bannister?
We always knew we were going to come to this point sooner or later.
So what are you going to do, eh?
We have absolutely no option but to move forward.
Yeah, you can't make us do anything we don't want to.
We have to set up our own distribution, manufacturing.
It's a bit extreme, right?
Run a totally independent organization and operation.
What, outside the BBC?
We still got our connections in Texas, Miami, right. New York, Chicago, Detroit, and soldiers on the streets willing to die.
Are you in the mafia, then?
I can't put any cut on the product.
I bet you said that to Danny Baker.
I just can't live like that.
Blackmail!
Yeah, we call the police.
From now on, if any cops get in our way...
Shit!
Oh God!
Yes.
All right, calm down, mate. All right, we'll do it.
He's got a gun, Matthew Bannister.
We'll do it, run!
Right, get in there, quick.
Oh God.
Get in the studio.
Hello!
Lee and Herring on 1FM.
The delicious break from potatoes, now in 6 fabulous flavours.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm Stuart Lee.
And I'm called Richard Herring. Great to be back on 1FM.
Yes, it's quite good.
Matthew Bannister there, a bit mad with that gun. Mad.
He is. He's under a lot of pressure now, though.
He is,
a
yes. But happy new year to all our listeners, one and all. Peter's with us as well. Hi, Pete.
Hello.
He's called Peter now, not Peter Bainham, to avoid confusion with that other guy on the Chris Morris Show. Had a good Christmas, Peter?
Yeah, got a card.
One whole one.
From the Raj Bilash Tandoori in Streatham, yeah. I didn't know they liked me.
This is 11th Dream Day from a new album, Ursa Major. This is called Bearish on High.
I admit that there's a feeling of defeat, but I resolve to erase that thought. It's just adherence to a long-standing theme of time. That's on the why. Superficial, unofficial response.
First of all, just this minute returned from a prestigious worldwide tour
of student venues
in England, Scotland, Wales and part of Devon. So it was really good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And we'd like to say a special shout going out from the posse here to all the students in Newton Abbot and Kingston, which were both absolutely awful.
What a waste of our time!
And of yours, sack your rents, officers.
Never mind, but we had a good time in Cheltenham, Gosden, with you, where you accidentally went for a poo in your pants.
I did, and I had to hide it in a cistern there, but I've left it there now.
Yeah, it was a shame.
I can smell a certain smell in the air. I sort of waft with the breeze. Irony means a lot to me.
And Herring on 1FM. Up to no good, I shouldn't wonder.
Don't make it a scene. You
Done anything good over the Christmas breaks, you?
Yeah, actually, I was in Edinburgh and I went to an all-dayer of tribute bands on Christmas Day. I saw the Australian ad with Bjorn again, the Australian Doors, and the Scottish Sex Pistols. That was good.
That's good. Yeah, I actually went to one of those all-day things of tribute bands. I saw the Greek Mike and the Mechanics from Genesis.
Yeah.
The former Yugoslavian Republic Men Without Hats.
Safety Dance.
And the Chad Rush. They're from Chad, but they're in Rush.
That's good. Lots of good ideas for tribute bands there.
Yeah.
That brings us to our competition this week. What we'd like you to do is use your imagination to think of an outlandish tribute band of your own. Think of a band you'd like to see a tribute band of.
And the country
and
they
the
come
country
from.
They are from. For instance, you could have the Scottish Orb.
You could have the Rwandan Baron Knights.
You could have
the Welsh Joe Dolce.
You could have the Filipino Dave Stewart and the Spiritual
Cowboys.
You
could have the Hawaiian Jeff Healy band.
Yeah. Hawaiian Jeff Healy band. Yeah.
The North Korean Sonya. Anything.
North Korean Sonya. It's endless. So we ring in, this competition, ring in on 071 306 0222 with those 071 306 0222.
Yep, and we'll give you that. So, what you've been? Anything else you've been up to over the New Year? I had a New Year's New Year's Eve. I had quite a dull time really, just with a few mates, but it was all right.
Went to a sadomasochist fetish party in a 15th century dungeon near London Bridge,
right?
Which was good. I met some people there, and there was people walking around, licking things out of the toilets and being whipped and stuff, and masturbating in public. And there was a woman who drank too much and was sick and got thrown out. Double standards at work.
You've got to draw the line somewhere.
And a bloke who was building torture equipment and had a mask that he showed me, a very tight mask, but he didn't like wearing it because he said it steamed up his glasses. So I said to him, why don't you wear contact lenses? And he said it was too painful to do that.
Fair enough, though. What about you, Pete? You've been done anything over Christmas?
I went to Spain.
That's good. Spain.
I was like on my own all over Christmas and that. And like the day after Boxing Day, I was like, I just had my housing benefit check.
Yeah.
And I was like walking down Balham High Road and I went past the travel agents and they had like flights to Benidorm for £89. So I did that.
Right.
But the only trouble was it was a flight only.
Right.
So when I got there, I didn't have anywhere to stay and I didn't have any money or anything.
Right.
And it was all shat anyway. So I just sort of walked around the town on my own, sort of looking at signs and empty shops and things like that.
Same as at home then?
And it was nice at night. I slept under a big stone bull by the airport.
Yeah.
Which was good, except one night when a sort of Spanish tramp man, I woke up and a Spanish tramp man was kissing my arm.
So that's a shame. Right, so remember, tribute bands, 071 306 0222. Right, now we've got another record coming up.
This is Daniel Johnson and Jad Fair. This is called Summertime.
I was going to say that.
It's summertime and all is fine, come go with me. It seems the thing to do, we'll go to the ocean and walk right in, splash around and go for a swim. Put a necklace on our head, yell for the lifeguard and pretend we are dead. We'll lie in the sand like raisins in the sun. We'll pop like popcorn when we are done. Down the boardwalk goes crabs on the run. We'll listen to seashells, won't we have fun? Bubblegum, popsicles, ice cream and coke. It must be true that the world is a joke. What's with all your madness when they said you decide what is real and what is an illusion? It's summertime and all is fine. It's summertime and all is fine. It's summertime.
Don't worry,
it's horrible,
Pete.
Scary.
Let's calm down, Pete. It's only a record.
Can you stop it?
It's a satire of way we perceive summer, Pete.
Can you stop this, please? Can you switch the music off?
It's not that scary. meant to introduce this. I chose this record.
Well, you didn't, did you? You wouldn't. You may have chosen it, but you'd never have known about it unless I'd played it to you anyway.
So, it's my idea, though. It's something that's really off of you.
Well, please stop it.
If you've got such a big thing about
it,
you know,
it doesn't matter. But you know, it's just it doesn't matter. But
well,
if I choose
it.
The record, introduce
it. You should. You can do what you know. You
okay, fine. Forget it. I don't care. I don't mind.
You obviously do care.
I don't mind. It's just I. You know, I chose this record. It's my record. Well, so I should introduce it.
All right, okay.
I don't introduce that many.
You don't hear...
Please. Shut up, Pete.
You don't hear Joe Wiley and them arguing like
shut
that,
up.
Steve.
Shut up. You're sick.
Thank you. For you. For you. No one understands you. Hi. How are you?
It's just I thought that...
What, that you were going to introduce it?
Yeah.
Well, you've been pathetic. You're behaving like the explorer Captain Oates you are.
What do you mean?
The life and times of Captain Oates.
I'm just going outside. I may be some time. Did you hear what I said then?
Yeah.
I said I'm just going outside.
Yeah, all right, Captain Oates. Off you go, mate, if that's what you want.
All right, then. Bye then.
Yeah, bye, Captain Oates.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
You realise it's really cold out there, don't you?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
If I'm out there for just a couple of minutes, I'll probably die and everything.
Look, if that's what you want to do, right, that's fine by us, yeah. Okay?
So you're not going to stop me then?
No. If that's what you want.
I left my glove.
Look, mate, what do you want us to do, eh? Do you want us to say you're the best at going to the South Pole? Is that it?
Yeah.
Not unless that's what you really think.
Oh, we really do, Captain Oates. We really do think that.
No, it's all right. It's not that anyway. I'm just going anyway.
All
right.
Captain Oates.
I'm back. Didn't take as long as I anticipated the thing I had to do.
Captain Oates.
Okay, remember, with those tribute bands, 0713 060 222 222, we've got James on the line now. Hello? No, we haven't got him on, but he'll be on in a minute, so, anyway...
So, James there to look forward to.
Is that part... That's the name of a band, so it might be part of it. But, Pete, you've got something to talk about, haven't you?
Yeah, well, because...
While we flannel for time.
When I went to Spain, I sort of spent all my money on that, so I'm going to be thrown out of my house. So I'm selling all my stuff.
Oh yeah.
I'm selling all my stuff in like a January sale or my other things. These are some pants there, which I found them on Bedford Hill in Balham in the Coke vending machine in the bit where the cans come out. And they're in good nick, so you can buy those if you want. And this is a mouse cage that my mouse Alan used to live in. It doesn't have to be for a mouse, it could be for a hamster or a snail or something.
All right, how will this work, this
I think the way it works, we're going to have to do this by auction. What we want you to do is a postal thing. If you could send in the money you think these things are worth, there'll be more during the show.
Yeah.
The person who sends in the most money will get the thing by return of post.
So, no
postage charge. Any other money that comes in, we can't return to you. That goes into a special bank account.
So far in the January, we have this bank account for
pants.
Us. Yeah. So far in the Pete's January sales, we've got pants
and
a hamster cage.
Right,
and you could send that to Pete Bainham.
Oh, yeah.
The Lee and Herring, room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, WA1A1A. And I think we've got James on the phone.
It's James on the line. James.
Yeah.
Hi, what's your tribute band you'd like to see?
Well, I've got two.
Yeah, go on, quickly.
The Puerto Rican Aha.
Yeah, I like that.
Or the French Doors.
The French Doors.
It's a way to get to your patio.
We missed
thanks
it.
We're calling
good.
In.
Thanks,
yeah.
James. That's
cheers,
very good.
Thanks a lot.
Right, now it is time. See you, James. This is time for This Is Mirror in the Bathroom by The Beat, who were very good from the 80s or something.
Yeah.
It's great. Not like today's rubbish. I mean, whatever happened to The Beat, Stu?
Well, Dave Waitling and Ranking Roger formed General Public, who were briefly popular in the States and appeared in the Rick Moranis film Head Office. The bassist and the guitarist formed the highly successful Fine Young Cannibals, and the stragglers from General Public and The Beat now play student balls as the International Beat. Does that answer your question, Rich?
I was speaking rhetorically,
actually. Right.
Mirror in the bathroom, please don't ring. The door is locked, just you and me. Can I take you to a restaurant that's got glass tables? You can watch yourself while you are eating.
As some other items in my sale. There's a tube of Bongella, which is like Elsa stuff, and a Grace Jones tape. Well, the box is Grace Jones. It's ABC inside. Don't know who they are.
This is Rebecca France, star of 100 Knowles House Parties and Debbie off of TV's Tricky Business. Just to say good luck with the series, you guys, and have a great 95. You deserve it.
Oh, that was Rebecca France. There were sort of the hundreds of celebrity messages of support that have come in for the new series of Lee and Herring. It's very nice. We'll be playing those throughout the show. Rebecca France there, I can't believe, one of our celebrity friends, too, from the Ariel advert, remember, in 1991?
No.
But she was very good, and she just had to say a thank you at the beginning. And Angus Deaton did the voiceover.
Mirror in the bathroom. You mum, mirror in the bathroom. You mum, mirror in the bathroom. You mum, mirror in the bathroom. Mirror in the bathroom. Recompense for all my crimes of self-defense. Cures you whisper, make no sense. Drift gently into mental illness.
And don't forget to write in with suggestions for bids for Pete's January sale. And send us pictures of those tribute bands, if you like. There'll be a prize next week for the best picture. Write in on to Lee and Herring, room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A, 1AA. And keep the calls coming in on 071 306 0222 for those tribute bands.
Take you to a restaurant that's got glass tables. You can watch yourself while you are eating.
And do write in also if you want a quilt cover, which is a bit sort of stinking and there's no quilt inside. Just I just fill it with rubbish and a fork.
Lee and Herring on 1FM, fighting the weak.
A Hobby New Year to you all. It is I, Simon Quinlack, the original Duke of Hobby, here with an eighth hobby to regale upon your ears if you currently are feeling that your hobby life is one hobby short. This hobby is good if you enjoy meeting people. This is what you'll need.
Some bourbon biscuits.
Some old Vera Lynn records.
A flask of weak lemon drink.
And a lockable room.
This hobby is a good hobby for people who like hobbies which involve collecting a collection. The hobby is called Old Man Collecting, and this is what you do to do this hobby. First, find an old man. Cafes are good old man hunting grounds. You can drink your weak lemon drink while you're waiting for an old man, but don't let the lady in the cafe see, or she will be enraged. I have seen an old man. Now, tempt your old man to your house by any means necessary, excluding physical coercion, which is not allowed by the old man collecting rules, which are the rules for old man collecting, which are in my book, Old Man Collecting Rules by Simon Quinlack, which I wrote. Disobeying these rules will incur a 5-year ban from the hobby of old man collecting, Neil Petarch. Old men like bourbon biscuits and Vera Lynn records. Watch. Excuse me, old man.
Yes.
Would you like a bourbon biscuit?
Oh, yes, please, young man.
Keep the bourbon biscuit just out of his reach. Come on.
Aye, are those your own bourbon biscuits?
Yes, they are, cafe lady.
Well, don't bring them in here. I'm trying to run a business.
If this doesn't work, a Vera Lynn record will make any old man dance gaily down the street after the enchanting sound, like rats.
I like that.
When you've got the old man home, put him in the secure room with all the other old men in your collection. Get in there, old man! I have 12 old men, which is the most old men that anyone in the world has. Neil Petarch claims to have 15, but his collection does not count for reasons I have explained earlier, when I said that he did not follow the old man collection rules. Each old man is different and has his own personality and markings. Do not feed the old men, as, should they ever escape to the wild, they will not be able to fend for themselves. It is sad. sad when one of your old men dies, but this is nature's way. And we should remember the pleasure the old men have given us rather than mourning them. Anyway, there are loads more out in the streets, and no one seems to notice or mind when they disappear. Goodbye, old Ken. Dust should be dust in the dust, amen. Well, that's my hobby for today. After the eight hobbies I have told you, it is my fifth favourite hobby. But I have more hobbies where that came from, I can tell you. Some of them are better than old men collecting, others are not as good. But they're all hobbies, and that's the important thing. Bye!
If it hadn't been forgotten, I'd go. I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? If it hadn't been forgotten, I'd go. I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Currently riding high at the top of the hit parade, the catchy but ultimately annoying and worthless Cotton Eye Joe by Rednecks.
And don't forget pop pickers, that fast computer beats with like banjos over them, that's the music of the future, it's cyber banjos. Also, if you check the spelling, you'll see it's not Rednecks, N-E-C-K-S. It's Nex, N-E-X. And that's the, to put an X on the end of something, that's the spelling of the future, that's yeah. Cyber spelling, that is.
Yeah. I think the lady's face is scary and like a devil.
Yeah. A new year. Now, most media look forward to what's going to be the best thing of 1995.
Yeah, but not us. Nope. We're not interested in what's going to be the best or what's going to be the worst. We're interested in things that are going to be just kind of all right in the next 12 months.
So, here coming up now are Lee and Herring's tips for what will be mediocre in 95.
Lee and Herring's predictions for mediocre people and things which will be regaling us with their mediocrity in 1995.
Rick Moranis. Rick's mediocre pedigree has been clearly established in such epics of mediocrity as Spaceballs and Splitting Hairs. 1995 will be the year that Rick boards the mediocrity supernova, and he'll be appearing in at least four more straight-to-video movies, co-starring Chevy Chase or Eric Idle, each with a special guest appearance by Gene Wilder in a different funny hat.
Rednecks, the dirty Scandinavian techno square dancing combo, are set to be the hazy fantasy of the 90s, with a further three hits, each more mediocre than the last, with exactly the same rhythm track called Cotton-Eared Joe, Cotton-Eyed Simon, and Felt-Tongued Ian.
Hanna-Barbera cartoons will continue to prostitute their rich heritage of cartoons by bastardizing excellent works like Scooby-Doo into mediocre rehashes like Young Scooby-Doo and the Young Scooby-Teeny-Tiny-Doo Gang, and making some crap things about kids on skateboards who can fly or something. The twats.
Virgin Cola. Not as nice as Pepsi or Coke, but nicer than My Mum's Cola or Panda Pop's Cola Drink, Virgin Cola will establish itself as 95 premier mediocre cola, bought only by your gran, and then put in a larder near some crisps for about 6 months until you go round and drink it politely but with hidden disdain.
Eczema. This illness, which is neither dangerous or especially painful and is easy to control with oilatum emollient, will be heralded as the most mediocre medical complaint of 1995 at this year's Mediocre Medical Complaint Dinner.
BBC Lunchtime Quiz Shows. For some, the mediocrity of BBC's 94 lunchtime quiz show output cannot be topped, and it would be a brave quizmaster who could claim to be more mediocre than Turnabout, The Great British Quiz, XYZ, and that one with Don McLean in it, whatever that was about. But 95 has started with a mediocre whimper with the unexciting new quiz show Timekeepers, starring the bland and mediocre Bill Dodd with his mediocre catchphrase, "That is right."
Remember, we are all as worthless as the least significant crumb of dirt in the dirt, so make your New Year resolution to celebrate mediocrity with alacrity where'er it may manifest itself well into 95.
Got some more tribute bands for you. I'd quite like to see the Cornish Adam and the Ants, but that's me. We've got John on the phone from Dumfries. Hi, John.
All right.
Is that John Kelly?
Yes,
what
is.
A surprise. No. How you doing, mate? All right.
I'm fine, yeah.
Back again. Right, yeah. What's your choices then?
Yeah, I was thinking about the Iranian shampoo.
No, that'd be good. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Or the former Soviet Union-esque menswear.
That's quite good, yeah. Any more?
The Dutch Peter, Paul and Mary.
No, that's all right.
The Time. Flemish Wings.
The Flemish Wings. I like Flemish Wings. Good. Thanks very much, John. I'm sure we'll hear from you again. Can we have J.D. from Mothersdale? Are you on the line?
Yep.
Hello. How old are you, J.D.?
I'm 14.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Your voice will break soon. And unless you're a girl, in which case it won't. So what are your tribute bands?
The Swedish Nirvana.
Mm. Yeah, that's not very good. Yeah, and...
and the Portuguese Grateful Dead.
That's very good. Thank you, JD. We'll let you know at the end of the show if you've won.
Oh, yeah, I thought I was going to take those phone calls, Rich. You said that I was going to take those.
No, it was my turn, if you remember.
I would like to have taken those.
Captain Oates.
The life and times of Captain Oates.
Would you like the last roast potato, Mrs. Neal?
Oh, thank you, Captain Oates. Lovely.
Anyway, I mean, I know you've had four potatoes already, and I've only had none, but don't let that worry you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not really hungry anyway, so it's fine, you know.
If you want the potato, just say now before I eat it, Captain Oates.
No, you have it.
If you really want a potato, Captain Oates, you can have one of my potatoes.
Oh. Well, I don't want it off your plate with your spit all over it, do I? Anyway, I don't want one. No potatoes was enough for me tonight.
Look, if you'd wanted that potato, you should have just said, shouldn't you? Mm. Rather than expecting Mrs. Neal to realise that when you were offering it to her, you didn't really want her to have it.
Yeah.
Captain Oates.
Look, I didn't want it, all right?
You can have it. Just say.
No, you stuff in your greedy face. All the other food that I paid for.
Fine. If that's what you want, I'll eat it, all right?
Right. Well, all right, if you insist, I'll have it, all right? Could you pass the gravy, mate, please?
Hi, I'm Alistair McGowan, star of Standing Room Only, and just like to say good luck in 95, guys. And especially to Stuart, who owes me an awful debt because he copied my voice. So well done, Stuart. Yeah, and Rich, of course, obviously. Right.
Great. Well, of course, we've had some prisoners escape for this week. They've been captured, thankfully. Our favourite is Matthew Williams, who wanted to destroy humankind, which was a good ambition to have.
Yeah.
He wanted to do this by breeding flies that would spread rabies and the common cold combined.
Yeah, nice, but unfortunately, his plan to destroy all mankind was thwarted when he became stuck in some mud last night and captured by a police dog called Bonzo. So a bit of a letdown for him there.
But maybe he planted some fleas on that dog that they're about to destroy.
Maybe did. I'm pleased he was caught, though, because we wanted to do some stuff about him, and Chris, our producer, was worried that he might come and get us if he was still on the loose, which is why Chris is in there in a sort of glass room where the flies can't get him. In case, but, yeah,
it's not the only escape. There's Fred West escaped, didn't he, in a way?
In a way.
There's no one chasing him, trying to get him, is there?
No.
They should send the ghost Busters in,
yeah,
or at least put his body back in prison so he can face justice.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Dahmer as well died last month. It's getting like it's not safe to be a serial killer anymore.
It's not. Apparently, the insurance premiums are going right up for serial killers, terribly high.
Well, you know, I knew when he was trying to insure his bike.
Yeah,
serial killer. They said $2,000 for a year just on an ordinary bike. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, we want to try and we got. If you've been watching morning TV recently, you've been seeing there's a lot of profiles about serial killers. We've got a psychologist here, Dr. Samantha McWee. Hi, Samantha.
Hello. Hello.
We want to see if we want to look inside the mind of a serial killer, because that's what they do.
Perhaps you could tell us what sort of things do serial killers have in common?
Yeah, any
two major things in common. One is an interest in killing people. The other is that they're interested in killing people in a series. That's a sort of etymological definition.
Right.
They like to do a series of killings or serial killings.
Serial killings. Hence the name.
That's right. Anything now, a lot of them kill for company.
Right.
They may meet someone, they become fond of that person, they're then scared that that person will leave them, so they kill them to preserve the company.
Yeah.
They then, of course, realise that the dead person isn't very good company and smells, so they then have to get another person for company, and then, without thinking, they kill them too, and so it becomes a sort of vicious circle.
Like a catch-22
That happens again and again and again.
Any pointers we can say to...
Well, many serial killers, with hindsight, have had nicknames, which would rather have given them away if one had thought about it. I mean, so, for instance, if somebody had come up to you and said, you know, my name's Jeffrey Dharma, but you can call me the Milwaukee Cannibal. Mm. You would think now, yeah. you know, that it was obvious, but of course at the time it wasn't.
And they didn't realise, yeah.
No, I mean, another would be, you know, hello, I'm Peter Curtin, you can call me the Dusseldorf Vampire.
Yeah, they should have seen it.
They should have done, really.
It even pinpointed
and
the location.
I hope now that we would be able to.
Yeah, so how else can we spot these people in advance?
There are a number of things in common. Well, many serial killers have names that begin with J, Jeffrey Dahmer and John Wayne Gacy, and... Yeah.
That's pathetic.
Some others.
You don't know anything about, you know, you're not much of an expert.
I have done a great deal of research.
Where?
Yeah.
Where?
I have 12 different copies of Great Killer magazine, which I have in the binders as well. Binders.
There are 24 copies of that.
Well, I embarked on the course halfway through, but I have 12.
Yeah.
Jack the Ripper, by the way, also begins with a J.
There is one other
fact, which is that they all have an interest in Nazi memorabilia, you'll find. Oh,
yeah. Like who?
Hitler.
Yeah.
Who killed a great many people and had a keen interest in Nazi memorabilia.
Being the founder of the Nazis, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
Well,
The Joker begins with a J.
That's not real, it's a made-up character.
Don't know anything about it.
Rubby. Well, thanks for coming in.
Be more from Samantha McWee later, possibly.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get a bit more useful information out of her. Yeah. And now it is the news, read by David Nicol.